I play that for you because there are so many today that deny that sin even exists, more or less that they do it. And that's just simply dangerous. You know, we have created little standards for ourselves about what sin is, and we make God, we say, well, I believe that God, that's not really a sin because, even though he said it was, it's not really a sin because it's not near as bad as what other people are doing. And the justification starts, and all of a sudden you begin to say, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. You know what? I don't think I really sin. I think that God, if I did mess up, I think God probably excuses me for it because I'm such a good person. Dangerous thinking. In society today, they even deny sin, period. You do what you want to do. As long as it's all right with you, well then, who's to say that it's not all right? And that has a lot to do with the denying of God. We're going to be looking this morning in 1 John, the first chapter. And once again, you'll not... this is from my translation notes. In verse 8 of 1 John, we're going to be looking at the presence of sin. If we might say that we are having no sin, we are deluding ourselves and the truth is not in us. Preacher was walking around down the street, just walking, and he noticed a group of boys. And that group of boys was standing around a dog. And so he was concerned for the dog's safety. I thought they were going to do something bad to him. And he walked over and they asked what they were doing. And one of the boys replied, well, all of us want this old stray dog. And we decided that whoever told the biggest lie would get it. The minister, I just got that preacher going. He goes, you boys shouldn't be in a contest telling lies. Don't you know that lying is a sin? When I was your age, I never told a lie. And there was silence for about a minute. Then just as the minister was through, he thought that he'd gotten through to him. One boy gave a big deep sigh and said, all right, he wins. Give him the dog. We smile and we laugh. But the fact is, we've all told some whoppers before, haven't we? Oh, we tolerate some lies. We call them exaggerations. Like when we add a few inches to the fish or the deer that we shoot. You know, they're perfectly acceptable to do that, right? We're not that tolerant, however, of lies when we're lied to and cheated in a business deal or when an untruth threatens our reputation. I don't like to be lied about, do you? Yet anyone who says he doesn't sin is telling the biggest lie of all. There are a few people today, there are some people today, who think they are sinlessly perfect, and yet they do not, not many really think that they're, think of themselves as a sinner. Now, I have a feeling that I would have a different response. I hope that I would have a different response here, but I'm just going to ask the question, how many of y'all are a sinner? No, let's do it this way. How many of y'all are not? But really, if I went to a college graduation and I stood before them and I would ask them, how many of y'all are sinners? Do you know that the majority of them would not raise their hands? Oh, I mess up every once in a while, but I'm not really a sinner because I'm a good person. Many will say, Well, I make mistakes. You ever said that? Well, I didn't sin. I just made a mistake. I'm not perfect. I tend to use that a lot at home. I'm not perfect. Well, I am, after all, just human. Y'all said that before? And you wouldn't be lying, but you wouldn't be telling the truth either. Usually we say such things to excuse our behavior or defend our behavior. And this is different than admitting and knowing that I am a sinner. People don't want to admit that anymore. I am a sinner. Instead, they're saying they can handle sin themselves. I can deal with my sin. Does that work for you, Terry? You can handle it? You did that for how many years? Bunch, all right? Yeah. You can't handle your sin, but yet you think you can. You tell yourself you can. You tell others that you can. That they can change their lives. And they can stop sinning enough to please God. Well, you know what? I think that I can stop sinning just enough to please Him. And if I can just get on His good side of that ledger, then I'll be all right and I can continue sinning. But I just don't want to step off that line. But the thing is, they say that they can control their lives enough to keep from sinning. I can't. And if you can I talk to you? Because I need to find out how you're doing it. The truth is that you can't either. You can cover it up. You can pretend. You can tell everybody. You can try to hide it. But the problem is that you still are sinning and you can't control it. You say, well, I do control it. There's lots of things I'd like to do, but I control it. To say that we have no sin puts us in a dangerous place. Because God's grace and His mercy is extended to sinners. Not for you perfect people. Okay? If you're here and you're perfect and you're not a sinner, His grace and His mercy is not extended to you. You realize that? To say, I make mistakes. To say, I'm only human. To say that I'm not perfect, that no one is not the same thing as saying, I have sinned and I am a sinner. It's not the same thing. We need to realize that with the victory and forgiveness that comes with saying, I am a sinner, even a great sinner. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I am the chiefest of sinners. But I have a Savior who cleanses me from all sin. Look, I know what you're saying. There are very few people out there that don't think they don't mess up. They do mess up. But what has happened is they have changed the definition of what sin is. It is no longer what is an affront to God, but it is what it is in a what they think a sin is. And so they set their own standard about what they say a sin is. And then they go away justified. There are so many people today who don't think that they're sinners, and yet they're liars, they're murderers, they're thieves. Because in their minds, they're okay. But when you set God's standard to our lives, God's standard is this. If you look at a woman and lust, you have committed adultery in your own heart, in your own mind. If you hate your brother, you just as well committed murder. That is a high standard. And when we come to the point when we realize that we cannot meet His standards, we cannot on our own except do the things that will please Him on our own, that there's no, His standard's way too high. When we come to that point, He says, I will cleanse you from your sin. There are some people today, most people today, who are so prideful in themselves and in this world that they would never humble themselves to say, I am a sinner. And it's keeping them from receiving the grace and the mercy that only God can bring. And it's the only way that they can get it. Now, if it was just the fact that we sin and mess up, that we don't hold to God's standards, if it was just that, and there was no way of recovering from that, I would say that, yeah, I wouldn't want to confess my sins either. I wouldn't want to tell anybody that I was a sinner. But here's the good part. The good part is that when we do confess, there is a way that God can cleanse us. Look in verse 9. It is the confession of sin. If we might be confessing to our sins, He is faithful and just so that He might forgive us of our sins and He might cleanse us of every wrongdoing. If you don't confess your sins, He won't get rid of the problem of sin in your life. And even though we sin, the sin does not have to be a hindrance to our fellowship with God. Remember, you can't change your relationship with God. You're either one of His or you're not. That's your relationship. Your sons, your daughters are your sons and daughters, and you can't change that. And if you're a saved child of God, you can't change that. But you certainly can change your fellowship with your Heavenly Father. We talked a lot about that last week. Walking in the dark, walking in the light, having fellowship with God. We can find cleansing from all unrighteousness as we confess our sins. What does confess mean? You know what confessing means? Okay, the word actually means agreeing with. Huh? I don't know about you, but if you think that when you're confessing your sins to God, that this is news to Him, it's not. He knows already. So what's the point? He wants you to agree with Him that you have sinned. It's a simple matter as that. When we confess, we agree. Lord, I know that I have sinned as You know that I have sinned. God knows we sin and we agree with Him. And it says, if we might be confessing to our sins, He's faithful and just so that He might forgive us of our sins and He might cleanse us of every wrongdoing. Cleanse us. I want you to notice something. That word, and this is the reason why I'm doing it this way, so that you can see the results of what the Bible, the original language actually tells us. If we might be confessing, that is a present tense. What that means is you are doing that now. If you'll continually confess, keep on confessing. Not a one-time deal. We'll say, I was a saved child of God. He took care of my sins, past, present, and future. Yes, but what about the effects of those sins in your life that you're committing right now? So you just keep confessing every day. Our sins are not forgiven because we confess. Our sins aren't forgiven because we confess. If this were true, if forgiveness for a sin could only come from where there was confession, then we'd all be damned. because it would be impossible for me, kind of think you too, to confess every sin. Half the sins I commit, I don't even realize I'm committing. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm saying? I am glad my salvation does not depend on if I sin last before I die. Before I got the quote confession. If that's the case, it would be impossible for us to confess every sin we ever commit. We are forgiven because our punishment was put upon Jesus, who we are cleansed by His blood. Our sins have already been forgiven. However, confession is still vital to maintain fellowship with God. As God convicts us of sin that is hindering our fellowship with Him, we must confess it and receive forgiveness and cleansing for our fellowship to God to continue. How many of y'all, when you were kids, went out and played in the mud holes, got really dirty, and you started walking the house and your mama goes, "You ain't stepping foot in here till you clean, you get yourself hosed off." We cannot have fellowship with God. We cannot walk near God until the stench of the sin has been cleansed. Now, it doesn't change my relationship. He's already bought and paid for my soul. I'm a child of God. It doesn't change that. He's just going to clean me up. And the stinkier I get, the farther away I have to be from Him. That's why we confess our sins. That's why, because He wants to cleanse us, to wash us, so that we can be walking in the light. That's the reason why people want to walk in the dark. They don't want God to see His, they don't want the world or the God to see the sin stains. Confession must be personal. To say this, maybe you've done this, I've probably done it too. "God, if I have made any mistakes, forgive me." Is that one prayer covers it all? That's not confession, because it isn't convincing. Well, if we made mistakes, we made mistakes. It isn't personal. If we've made it, it isn't specific. If we've made any mistake, that's not confession. And it isn't honest, because we're saying mistakes. That's not confession. When you get on your knees and you pray to your Lord and your Savior and you want to get right with Him, you want to draw close to Him, you need to start out saying, "Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. I've done wrong." Are you going to cover them all? No. But you show a willingness to come before God and agree with Him that you are a sinner. Because of Jesus' work, the righteousness of God is our friend, ensuring that we will be forgiven because Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. God is being faithful and just to forgive us in the light of Jesus. You may be the worst of sinners. You may think that you've done things in your life that you can never come back from. You may think that I've done the most horrible things in the world. But God is faithful and just to forgive you. And He will cleanse us from every wrongdoing. It is not an excuse just to keep doing what you're doing because God, no one cares and God will never take me. No, He is faithful and just that He might forgive us of our sins and that He might cleanse us of every wrongdoing. Charles Spurgeon said this once. He says, "This text means just this. treat God truthfully, and He will treat you truthfully. Make no pretensions before God, but lay bare your soul. Let Him see it as it is, and then He will be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What that means is that what you do, and when you go before God, is you quit making excuses to God for your sins. Quit trying to promote yourself and promote God. You tell Him, Lord, I am a sinner. I have messed up bad in my life, and I am looking to You for help and forgiveness. You give it all to Him. You bear your soul to God, and in response, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of any wrongdoing. You can't just make this haphazard prayer, Lord, now lay me down to sleep. I've sinned a bunch today, so just take care of it. No. It's a heart-to-heart with God. And I say, well, Brother Randy, what? It's that easy. Why don't we just continue in sin? Well, Paul said that too. Paul said, the question was brought to him, says, so if it's by grace that we're saved and we can do anything we want, then we can just continue in sin. He said, God forbid. This shouldn't lead us into sin. Hey, I'll go ahead and sin because God will forgive me. It should lead us out of sin, knowing that God could only be faithful and just to forgive our sins because the wrath we deserved was poured out on the sin and on Him. He took our sins. He took our place. He took the penalty for our sins on the cross of Calvary. There is no more sure evidence that a person is out of fellowship with God than for someone to contemplate or commit sin with the idea, I can always ask for forgiveness later. In the workplace, there's this common thing when you have to make a decision and you know that your boss isn't going to like it. You know what you do? Well, I'm just going to go ahead and do it, and I'll beg for forgiveness later. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it don't. But you know what? If that's the way you're dealing with God right now, you're not in fellowship with God. You can't be. Since God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, not one little bit, we can be assured that the person who commits sin with this idea is not in fellowship of God with God. Get to Him. Talk to Him. Confess your sin. The denial of sin. In verse 10, if we should say that we have not sinned, and continue not to sin, okay, we are making Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Well, let's start out with the first thing. We make God a liar. It's real simple, and I could spend the rest of the morning service dealing with this. But I'm going to use one verse, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter what you look at, that word all means everybody. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Now, I had a question when I was studying this through a while back. I was wondering, look at verse 8. What does verse 8 say? If we might be confessing to our sins. Okay? That's not the right one. But it's the next. There we go. If we might be saying we are having no sin, we are deluding ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So what's the difference between verse 8 and verse 10? Go ahead and go to that slide there after verse 10. The next one. There we go. The verse 8 says this. says we are having no sin. And look what happens. It says we are deceiving ourselves and trying to deceive God. Our fellowship with God. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about our fellowship with God. But look what it says in verse 10. We have not sinned and continue not to sin. And the problem with that is we make God a liar and His Word's not in us. I believe that's our relationship with God. Why do I say that? In verse 8, it says, if you're talking about you're sinning right now, as a saved child of God, you're sinning right now and you're denying it. All right? Who took that cookie? Did you take that cookie? No, I didn't take that cookie. It wasn't me. With that crumb still on your, you know, on your lips. I didn't take the cookie. That is what it's talking about. You're deceiving yourselves and you're trying to deceive God. In verse 10, the word here, we have not sinned. We have not sinned and we continue to sin. Continue not to sin. What he's saying is, we've never sinned and we won't ever sin. Look at the ramifications of that. And if we say that we have not sinned and we continue not to, we won't ever sin, we're going to make God a liar and His Word is not in us. In the first case, it says, I didn't do it. In the first case, he's talking about someone who's a saved child of God and is talking about your fellowship with God, and he says that you're trying to deceive you and God. You're just lying to yourself. In verse 10, he's talking about something different. Someone who does not recognize that they are a sinner. Someone who does not recognize that they have sinned or they'll ever sin. Verse 8 is talking about fellowship. Verse 10 is talking about relationship. We cannot have a relationship with God if we do not recognize ourselves as sinners. The idea that His Word is not in us is related to the idea that Jesus is the Word of life found in 1 John 1:1. And if we refuse to see sin in us, we show that Jesus is not in us. No man was ever kept out of God's kingdom for confessed badness, but many are for their supposed goodness. The point is this. Some people say they've not sinned. Despite all the sin in the world, all the sin that swirls around and engulfs human life and society, some persons say they can become righteous on their own, that they don't have to recognize sin at all. I promise you, there are many more people out there like that than you know. That everything they do is justified in their own sight. That all the sins of the world, they cannot confess something because they don't believe they're sinning. They don't stand, they don't judge. They don't judge by God's standards. They judge by their own. And they say, I'm a good person. I've always been good. I always will be good. That person cannot be saved until they humble themselves and admit that they are a sinner. Cannot. It is not possible. They say they can become so righteous that God will approve their behavior. God will accept them because of their own righteousness and their own sinlessness. They say that they don't need a Savior. That they're able to save themselves. They say that the Son of God does not need to die for the sins of man because man can become righteous and sinless enough on his own. Righteous and sinless enough to become acceptable to God. This is happening all around us today. They don't understand that they're walking in darkness. They don't understand that they need His cleansing and forgiveness. They don't understand because they cannot admit and get on their knees and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them. And unless you ask for forgiveness of sins and you confess to Him, you can't be saved. Humble yourselves before Him. Understand who you are, that you are the creation and He is the Creator. What they're saying is this, that they did not need the Son of God to come to earth and die for their sins. They could take care of it on their own. And according to this passage this morning, a saved child of God cannot deny that he continues to sin. If you're here today and your relationship with God is as a saved child of God, one of His, you cannot deny that you still sin. Because you do. Verse 8 tells us that you're deceiving yourself. But a person who says they've never sinned cannot be saved. They can never have the Word of God living in them until they humble themselves. But the point for everyone this morning is that even though we all sin, it's by the cleansing power of the blood, Jesus' blood, we can have fellowship with God and have a saving relationship with Him by agreeing with God that you are a sinner, that you sin. We can walk in the light with Him. And for those this morning who have never accepted Jesus Christ into their heart and their life, you need to humble yourself and you need to realize that your standards are not anywhere close to God's when it comes to sin. That God will not accept your standards of sin. He only accepts His moral standards. And we fall very, very short. All of us. And so if you're here today and you have need of Jesus Christ in your heart and your life, you have need of a Father-Son relationship with Him, it is my prayer this morning that once you call Him into your heart and your life, that you've confessed that you're a sinner, that you believe that He is the Son of God, and you ask Him into your heart and your life, that you'll do so. That you'll come to a saving relationship with Him by the knowledge that you can't do this on your own. You can do that this morning. You can come to Him, ask Him, Lord, save me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I sin. And He will save you. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. And you'll have fellowship with Him. Saved children of God here this morning, it is my prayer that right now that you will examine your hearts and your lives looking for the sin that causes us to sometimes walk in the darkness away from God. What is it that's keeping you away from Him? What is it that's causing you not to have fellowship with Him? You say, well, Brad, I'm fine. Don't deceive yourself. There's always sin in our hearts and our lives, and He's always wanting us to come and be forgiven, to confess our sins. Sometimes we drift off into sin, and before we know it, we're so far away we can't even see Him in our lives. And no one else can either. Don't get to that point. Let's all today get our hearts right with God. Number one, make sure we have a Father-Son relationship with Him, a permanent, forever relationship with Him. And number two, let's make sure that we are in fellowship with Him by walking in light and get rid of the sin stains that are upon us. So as we prepare for the invitation, I don't know your heart, I don't know your life, let's all stand. And I want to let God take care of of your conviction, of what you need to do. I've talked a lot, but let me tell you, God's the one speaking to you right now in your heart. It may not have anything to do with anything that I said, but God's speaking to you when it gets your heart right. Would you not be so proud? Would you humble yourself and get where you're at? So as we sing, would you let the Spirit of God deal with you?
Number 543.